Welcome back. Tech Days DevOps. Big, big ask from me. So Andrew and I have got some friendly rivalry. I am desperate to beat his viewing figures. So tweet your friends, get people to sign in and come and watch. We've got a great day. We've got fantastic speakers. And speaking of fantastic speakers, sitting with me on the couch now is Taryn Arora, who's going to talk to us about release management and Octopus Deploy. Taryn, why don't you introduce yourself?
So I'm the guy today with the bow tie, and just purely because that's what's going around here. Everyone's got
we've
a bow
got
tie.
A thing
it's
going.
The bow tie
you know,
day
we've
today.
We've got to dress well.
The DevOps gentleman, right? Hi, everyone. My name's Taryn. I work in Avanade UK as a manager for DevOps and ALM. So this is just another day in the office.
Yeah.
I've recently written a book on TFS 2015, which talks about you know, how to practically apply DevOps in the enterprise landscape. And there's a discount code that's available on the screen that you guys can benefit from. If you order the book during the session, there is a flat 50%. And so today, I want to talk about DevOps, but not just from the perspective of the tooling that Microsoft offers, but then also from the angle that if you guys are already invested in tooling that's non-Microsoft, then how do you all bring it together and integrate so that it works better together rather than being in isolation? So that's where the Octopus Deploy comes in, and yep. we'll look at the integration that's available. And then towards the end, we'll talk about Chef, because a lot of people use Chef to manage the infrastructure, whether it's cloud, on-prem, Linux, or Windows as well. And then we'll touch a little bit about Azure Dev Test Labs as well, because that's really picking up. And just from Damien's session, people looked at the ARM templates, and we'll see how these ARM templates can plug in into VSTS and just allow you to deploy infrastructure as if you were deploying code.
Okay, that's great.
Great. So let's get started. DevOps, yeah, there's the other tool syndrome. Customers I talk to tell me, we love VSTS, it's fantastic, but we can't use it because a few years back we invested in this tooling that looked really awesome, and look, we've invested so much, we've got our entire landscape automated now, it doesn't make sense to unplug and replug, or it doesn't make sense to do the migration. And so what VSTS has really done is it's opened up this amazing integration story into the ecosystem where whether you're using TeamCity or you're using Jenkins or you're using Octopus Deploy, you'd be able to see the two-way integration where not only can you see the data being published from VSTS available into Octopus Deploy, for example, but the data available in Octopus being pumped back into VSTS. So we'll cover a little bit of that during the demo.
Okay.
The second thing I want to touch on briefly is infrastructure has mostly in enterprises been seen as it accommodates running the infrastructure, the application, but that's not really the case anymore. Infrastructure has to be looked at as code. And if we talk about the modern software craftsmanship implementation technologies, such as Azure, for example, where you know, you're storing your infrastructure just as ARM templates, which can go into version control, which can be code reviewed, and then they can integrate into your build and deployment process. So it's all about software, and we shouldn't really look at infrastructure as, you know, tin and can.
Yeah, I mean, I spend a lot of my working day trying to eliminate the variance between what the devs use as their environment and what we use in production. I think that whole sort of ARM template infrastructure of code, chef recipe, is a really great way of doing that, because at the end of the day, the only difference we want between dev and live is scale, right?
Correct. And just to touch on that point as well is, you know, when you deploy your application, but before that, you deploy your infrastructure from scratch, you guarantee that whatever you have in your application, the frameworks or the dependencies are tested every time. But if you deploy to that infrastructure that someone in the other team created for you 5 years ago, guarantee that next time you do a deployment, you're going to run yourself into some trouble.
Yeah.
Like you said, it's worth deploying infrastructure and software together. Mm-hmm. And then the last thing I'm going to touch on is managing desired state. It's not about writing scripts to install IIS. It's not about, you know, writing these point-blank scripts to set up ASP.NET 4.5 and then do this and do that. It's more about the state-driven scripting terminology that we need to focus on. So rather than defining how software needs to be installed, we should go into the mode where we specify how the server state needs to be desired, and PowerShell and Windows are mature enough to work out where the current state and the desired state differ, and then work out what scripts need to be installed to bridge that gap. And while Chef does it, Microsoft Azure does it fantastically with the DSE implementation. So we'll look at that as well. So as I said, not too many slides, definitely a lot of hands-on demo. So shall we just jump into it?
Absolutely, we love hands-on demos.
Okay, so I've got a VSTS instance here, and I've got a very simple application in a Git repository here called Fabricam, and Fabricam's been used and abused a lot, but I don't have the actual Fabricam website. I've just got a vanilla MVC app that I've checked in here, you know, no fancy code in there. But really what I want to show here is the journey from checking your code to doing your first build, and then taking that build and deploying into Octopus. So for the purposes of this demo, I've stood up an Octopus server, which is running in the cloud. It's got a fairly trivial workflow process here. It's got three environments, QA, staging, and live. And if you see on the dashboard, the application, once it's published from within VSTS, would get into the test environment. So you trigger a release in Octopus deploy test, and then you can have the natural code promotion, release promotion from test to staging to live. While you can manage it from within Octopus, I'll show you how you could actually manage it from release management in VSTS as well.
Okay, so you're using Visual Studio Team Service as the cloud service, and you've got Octopus in the cloud. What if I don't want to use cloud? Can I use Team Foundation server on-premise and Octopus on-premise?
That's a good question, and I'm glad you brought it forward. Is whatever I'm going to show you today, 95 to 99% of that should just work on-premise well. So, okay. And I want to ask a question to the audience here. I've got a giveaway for a book, and so the question, anyone who gets it right, Claire would manage the sending out the book.
Okay, so this is for our Twitter competition, folks.
So when was release management first introduced in Team Foundation Server on-prem?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Okay, so whoever gets that answer right on Twitter, the book's coming your way.
So you've got to tweet TechDaysUK. Remember to use the TechDays hashtag and go look it up and tweet. The Infinite Monkeys will be watching for your answers. Thanks, Tara.
So within this code base here, you would see there is this natural synergy from the different components within VSTS to the different components within VSTS. For example, I'm in CodeHub at the moment and I'm seeing my code, but I can see that the overall status of the last build that was performed on this code is green. Gives me confidence. And so if I was going to branch this off further into another feature branch, then the relevant build definition for that would signal whether it's green or red as well. So okay. it keeps the status flowing across the different hubs as well. So we're in the code hub, and we're going to navigate into the build hub. And within the build hub, I've got a few build definitions. When you click the plus button to create a new build definition, you get all these templates that you can use. And you can see that Microsoft's not favoring just one product type. It's quite open. You've got these templates for Android, for Java users, Ant, Maven, and if you're Xamarin, then you've got templates for that as well. Okay. We're just going to use the vanilla Visual Studio template. And it gives me the options to either take the code that's hosted within VSTS or take the code that's coming from a different repository like Git, or maybe Subversion, or a private Git repository that I'm hosting myself. And that's the better together story I'm talking about. Whether you're doing your coding in GitHub or whether you have your own private repository, you could still use VSTS to compile your code.
Okay.
And then, because I'm storing the code within VSTS, I've selected the repository and the branch, and I click Create. And as I click Create, what I see here is what I could use right away to get a status of my build. I don't have to do anything additional. The template is pre-set up with pointing to the right repository. As you can see in the repository tab here, it's already picked up my repository settings. And in the build, the right level of tasks have been added for me to at least get a compile process and a test process flowing. Now, once you've done that, you're able to do your continuous integration within VSTS. But because you're using a system like Octopus Deploy, which is primarily focused around deployment, so it takes over from after the build has been finished, mm-hmm. takes the out product, and then runs a deployment on top of that, in order to start the integration, you have to use some of the MS build parameters that Octopus introduces. And what I want to show you here is the Visual Studio Marketplace. So if we click on Browse to the Marketplace, we get navigated to marketplace.visualstudio.com. And so with Visual Studio, the ecosystem is very rich because the endpoints that Microsoft has introduced, the API is quite rich and allows you to build that level of integration. The whole community is chipping away, writing these great extensions. So if you haven't looked at the marketplace yet, I'd strongly urge you do. And one of the top extensions there, which tells you about how popular Octopus Deploy is, the Octopus Deploy extension. And if you navigate into this, you can see this template allows you to package your application. So to compile your application within VSTS, but package it away and push it into Octopus.
Okay.
Create the Octopus releases from within VSTS and actually deploy it, so trigger the deployment as well into Octopus. You know, the examples are fairly straightforward, but let's see this in action within our build process definition. So I've created one here already, this one, which is using the old way of integration. So earlier, you didn't have these templates available, so you had to use these MS build parameters, which were effectively go run the Octo pack, and once you've created the pack, push it to this endpoint, and this is the API key. But now that this extension is available, you could click the Add Build Step button, and if you go into the Packet section, you would see you get these new two tasks. One is Package Application, and one is Push Package to Octopus.
Okay.
So let's add these. And you know, what you're asked here is, you know, I'm going to create a package. Where is the source code? What is the package ID you want to use? And so this is where the integration becomes all the more better. I could run the build in VSTS, take the VSTS build ID, use the same ID in Octopus. So I've got that integration, though I'm talking across two systems. Right. So by naming this build.buildNumber, whatever the build number of the VSTS build gets handed over to Octopus as well.
So that gives you traceability, right? That you can see which build have we just deployed through our Octopus deploy.
Correct.
Yeah. Okay.
And then you know, you can specify what the source code path is that you want to compile to create the package. So think of it this way, right? You may have a bigger process within VSTS where you're compiling a lot of modules and doing a lot of stuff, but maybe just one of these modules or packages needs to be handed over to Octopus. So it gives you the ability to sort of narrow down the path here and not take all of the code that you don't need.
Okay.
And then you get the NuGet-specific parameters as well. So if you want to specify who authored this this specific definition, so you could use one of the pre-configured variables like requested by and stuff like that. And you know, if you wanted to pass what branch you're using, what commit ID, you know, all of these variables are available. If you navigate to the variables task and browse to this list of predefined variables, you can see these variables and use them. And so this is some of the other configuration. And then you have to specify which server you want to push the package to, because VSTS will allow you to push to Octopus once it knows where Octopus
okay.
is.
Yep.
And rather than manage that as some hard-coded string, VSTS now gives you the ability to manage services as endpoints. So if I click on the Manage link, I get navigated into the Team Project Services page, where you see I've got a whole collection of endpoints that I can add. So you know, if you want to deploy to Azure, for example, you don't need to hard-code stuff. You can store that as an endpoint. And the benefit of storing it as an endpoint is you get to apply permissions as well. So I can allow someone to have read access. I can allow someone to be the administrator of that endpoint as well. So in this case, I've defined an endpoint for Octopus server, which is just simply taking a generic endpoint, specifying the server URL of Octopus, and then the username I want to connect with. And after having done that, you can see Octopus server shows up as a dropdown. You can specify the path to the package, and then you know gives you the ability to override the package should there be conflicts because of the same version. Because sometimes a build may fail at a certain step and you may want to rerun it but have the relevant package in Octopus overridden. So let's go back, let's undo this. And let's just queue this build. And if we go over to Octopus, we'd see within Octopus, we've got the application set up, namely Fabricam Core. And while I was testing it yesterday, I deployed version 1.12 on this environment. Now, if I go back here, you see I'm not even deploying infrastructure to run my CI process. I'm using the Microsoft hosted agent. As you can see here, the hosted agent. Every VSTS account gets about 200 and something minutes of build free. And you know, you can obviously hook up your VSTS subscription to Azure and buy more minutes, yeah. or just set up your own agent to do the CI process. So while this is running, do you want to?
So I was going to say, so we tend to use a bit of a mix of on-premise and cloud-based agents, and what we find is that boils down to what do I need to build?
Yeah.
What's your experience of that? You find that most of your customers are okay using the cloud services, or are you finding very much a pick and mix?
Well, some of the banks aren't. They're still cloud, but you know, but there are some applications that have a bit of legacy where the core components needed to compile the application cannot be exposed as NuGet packages.
Right.
So there's no way of pushing the compile time dependencies on the hosted agent, which means you have to stand up your own server. But when we look at how the technology has modernized, creating infrastructure by layering these dependencies via some sort of packages or via some sort of scripts is fairly easy now. Mm-hmm. So while you still are setting up a physical server, you've got scripts that can be run to set up that server fairly easily.
Right.
So the build's completed. Now, if we look at version 13 and we go over to Octopus.
So that sounds like an unlucky one for a demo there, Tara, version 13. Quick sacrifice a chicken.
So if we go into, not today, today's the lucky
sacrifice
day.
Sacrifice a penguin.
So within the library, you'd see we've got Fabricam Core and we've got version 13. So if we navigate in here, we can see version 13 has been pushed across to Octopus.
Okay.
And you know, you can see it's the outproduct of the build that we did on the 19th. So that's the first level of integration where you're pushing the packages across and carrying the same DLL versioning. Now, you've done the build and you want to do the release management within VSTS. So if we navigate within the release tab in VSTS, you would see that a lot of the artifacts that are available in the build hub just happen to appear again in the release hub. And sometimes I get this question where, you know, if I've got the deployment tasks available within the build hub, then why am I doing my release from the release hub? But what we have to remember is that release is much more than just deployment. Yep. Release is about having a process, a little bit of a process approval, maybe some ownership of who owns that environment, maybe some emails and notifications flying around should releases go good or bad. And deployment is one process within your release pipeline, but the release pipeline could have more to offer.
Exactly. I think of it as builders creating the bits, and yeah, it could deploy, but as soon as you have multiple environments and multiple stages that we've got to push out through, that one single build isn't a good place to put it, is it? Because we want to advance through those phases.
Correct. And so when you click into the release hub, you get the templates, or you could start with an empty template. In this case, let's take one that's available already. And see the OSS tooling I talked about, you see Jenkins available here. So if you're still keen on picking up a package from Jenkins, because you've got investment in Jenkins, you could do that. In this case, I'm using the VSTS build because that we've already pumped away to Octopus. Mm-hmm. And let's create this release. You would see when you come into the release page within VSTS, you get environments and you get tasks. So environments are effectively like a release environment. You could have tests, you could have staging live, and you know, in your organization, if you directly go from dev to production, then you might just have two. But if you are more a process-driven company where you have a lot more environments, then you can manage that. But to help you fast-track the implementation, once you set up a pipeline of tasks for an environment, you could save it as a template, or you could simply clone it, which means you don't have to go through the same, you know, hit and try mechanism effectively.
Yep. Okay.
Now, where this is really great is if in your organization you're doing a lot of web deployments, and you champion the process of setting up web deployments using this, make that as a standard template for others to just plug in and go forward with.
Okay, that's a good tip.
So because we were talking about Octopus, let's focus on Octopus here. So let's name this environment test, and let's add the Octopus task. So when I click Add Tasks and go to Deploy, I will see that I have a Deploy Octopus Release task. I've got a Create Octopus Release task as well. And so Create Octopus Release is let's put it this way. Deploy Octopus Release is a subset of the Create Octopus Release.
Okay.
And the reason you've got these two separate tasks is in some organization, after you've created the release, they may have some manual steps that they undertake before the release is kicked off or triggered. or you tend to carry out some automation testing on other environments. So giving you the ability to split this into two separate steps sort of helps you put in the additional process you may have.
Okay.
But if you tend to create the release and deploy it at the same time, this template also gives you a section to trigger the deployment at the same time as well. So I'm gonna open up one release template that I just created before the demo, which has these two tasks configured. And you'd see I'm creating the Octopus release here by specifying the Octopus endpoint, specifying the name of the project, and then I am referring to the build number that I previously generated that I want Octopus to trigger the release for.
Okay.
And so if you see here, within packages, we've got 10013, which is coming from a build. And in the artifact section here, I've linked up the build as well here. So by calling the same build number, I'm telling Octopus, you might have had so many other builds, but this is the specific one that I want you to deploy. And I've got a default channel which promotes the build from testing to staging to production, and that's you can specify if you've got different channels here. But this is where the true power is. You know, I want you to include the change set comments. I want you to include the work item. So when you look at the release within Octopus, you would see not only does it have the work items, the work item details, but it's a link so you can navigate back to VSTS and okay. then see the natural commit and the end-to-end traceability.
So you've obviously got, in your Octopus deploy, you've got your three separate environments. Now, I tend to use Visual Studio. Release Manager obviously has environments. What do you do in those circumstances? Are you going to create multiple VSTS environments, or should we hand that off to Octopus and let it advance through the stages
yeah.
of deployment?
That's a good question. The answer is it depends.
Okay.
Right?
So it's up to me. I've got a lot of choice.
It's up to you. The tooling gives you the ability to do both. So if you want to simply trigger the deployment within Octopus, then just have that task, and Octopus, once the first environment trigger has happened, can manage the rest of the code progression
okay.
or the release progression. Or you manage the triggers to each of the environments from each of the environments within VSTS. Now, I tend to do that because within Octopus, once you create an environment process, you can clone that for all the other environments. So the process is quite consistent. But
right.
within VSTS, I want to run my load test as well. I want to do a bit of updates to release notes, for example. And that sort of stuff I can easily do within VSTS.
Okay.
So we've got these two tasks here. Let's create a release. And I'm taking the last build, which is number 13. This is for the demo. And let's create this release. And what's great is when I create the release, I have this section which is called the logs section. And this gives you a live feed of how the deployment is actually happening. And as you can see here, it's at the moment validating the artifact, which is the build, making sure that that's relevant. Initializing the repository, and then after that, it's sort of downloading the artifact, and then it's going to make a call to Octopus to validate the endpoint, and then tell Octopus to start the deployment process. But it's not a start the deployment process and I've got no knowledge. It's a, ooh, the deployment failed.
So I was just going to ask that. Is it going to retrieve the telemetry from Octopus so through that single pane of glass I can see what the deploy is doing?
Yeah.
Or would be doing.
Yeah.
So I told you 13 was a bad idea.
So while you can see here that It's managed to find the connection with Octopus. It's sort of found the environment and it's found everything else. Release 13 already exists for this project. Please use a different version. Okay, so I know the reason why it failed because what I have set up here is that as soon as the build completes within VSTS, that the release is triggered. And so if we look within the configuration of the release management, we would see we've got this section here, which is deployment conditions. And I'm saying, as soon as the build finishes, I want to trigger a release. So the release actually was triggered with build number 13 here.
So that was a deliberate failure, so you could show sure. us that we can wire in continuous integration
I like that.
With this.
Thanks,
well.
Rick.
Yeah, well done.
And so if we navigate to Octopus, we can see within the dashboard that release 13 was indeed promoted.
Okay. So that's only pushed that out to test. So have you got some manual steps that we need to go and approve the push out to the next stage? So you could run, I don't know, load test, performance test, get a whole load of automated information back and then say, yes, no?
Correct. So what's missing at the moment is you don't have a manual intervention step within an environment, though Microsoft published a blog post lately which announces that that's a feature they're working on.
Okay.
But now that we've promoted the code, the release into the test environment from this section here, you could effectively just clone this environment and then maybe call it staging. And then from within staging, you can say, now I don't want to run this, but I simply want to push the release from this to staging. And so when you run the release process now, after it's done the deployment in test, you can trigger the release to be run in staging, which simply does the deployment in Octopus.
And that's what you were saying earlier, that you find it easier to have the environments defined in both VSTS and Octopus and drive it through here.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, I mean, we can go into more details into Octopus, but I think for people that are already using Octopus, they're familiar with how things work in Octopus and you know how simple it is to set up your release deployment process within Octopus. But really, I think if you're using Octopus and you haven't tried VSTS yet, now's a good time to start, because there's some really, really good extensions available that not only allow you to publish packages, you could use the VSTS NuGet server package functionality to have the packages submitted within VSTS and have Octopus deploy feed off that other repository, NuGet repository that you've set up. So that's effectively what I wanted to talk about Octopus.
Okay.
Isn't it great? We've set up our Octopus deployment and you know we're deploying our software. But like what we talked about before is we now need to look at storing our infrastructure as code. So when we're doing the deployment, we actually provision the infrastructure before that. And so I'm going to briefly talk about the Azure Dev Test Labs. If you haven't looked at Azure Dev Test Labs, another great Microsoft feature you should look at in Azure, it's in preview at the moment, so you're not going to see it pinned on the left tab. You just have to search for it. And then once you have it available, the biggest advantage it offers is infrastructure has always been easy to provision in Azure. But you start off with a couple of virtual machines, and then next thing someone wants to connect from machine one to machine B and have some firewall requirements, and then the company's like nervous now because everyone's running their machines 24/7. What's the cost profile going to look like? Wouldn't it be great if we could create custom VHDs? Then provisioning the next VM would be easy. And you know, it opens up pretty much a new job role in the organization, because once you've gone beyond the 5-10 VM game in Azure for your dev and test, you now need someone to diligently manage that infrastructure. Yes. One, to make the provisioning more efficient, and two, to govern it, right? Because you don't want your devs to be creating 56 gig machines and then leaving them 24/7 on.
Yeah.
So DevTest sort of addresses that by creating a wrapper around the service, where when you create a DevTest lab, you get some really good policies. I could dictate which VM sizes my devs in this DevTest lab can provision. And so, you know, maybe these bigger machines that have a higher cost are relevant or not relevant, but I can pick and choose that. You can also apply a policy as to how many VMs each dev is entitled to. So once they hit that limit, they'll have to delete the previous ones before they provision new ones.
You've got to put your toys away before you can play with the next one.
And the one that I really like is being able to see the cost profile. Oops, not this one, this one. So you can see here how much you've spent, but it gives you a projection as well. So if you're budgeting for your dev test labs, this is definitely useful. And apart from that, this section is quite useful, where you have the ability to create a VM once, and then after you've created it, you can pretty much sys prep it from within the dev test labs, and it stores it as a custom image. So when you come around to creating the next virtual machine, you could simply use that image rather than having to set this up from scratch.
So in that way, it's similar to what we used to do with Lab Manager, where we'd prep a machine, right, store it in the lab, and then you could compose an environment.
Correct.
So can I do multi-server environments with dev test labs at the moment, or is it more lots of single machines that I can build up and use?
So you can do the multi-server environment provisioning. The way it works is when you create a VM, it gets created in its own resource group.
Okay.
And because you're on your own resource group, you can sort of make the machine structure complex by introducing load balancers, multiple nodes, multiple NICs, multiple NSGs, multiple storages if you wanted. But the basic resource group that gets created has one NIC, one VM, and one availability group.
Okay.
But you have the possibility to extend that. And one thing I really like about DevTest Labs is what has been called formulas. And so if you come from Chef or you know, one of these other tools that offer this similar capability, you'd understand that infrastructure is effectively layers, where you've got a base VM, which is could be a Windows, could be a Linux, but on top of that, you've stacked maybe PowerShell version 5. On top of that, you've stacked, give me a software name, or a Visual Studio,
uh-huh.
SQL Server. And so because you're provisioning all of that, tomorrow when Windows 2012 is not used anymore and 2016 needs to be used, previously you would go away and create the structure again. But with the formula, you can simply take away the old image, put the new image in, and you don't have to make changes to any of the other artifacts. So if we see here, a lab formula is a selection of a VM, and I've created a base VM, but let's just look at a Windows Visual Studio 2015 update 2. Right, let's call it Tech Days. And I'm specifying what the VM size ought to be, what network it's going to go in. But after that, I've got the artifact section where I can say, and on top of this base VM, I want you to put 7-zip, I want you to put Fiddler, and I want you to put Chrome. And so if you're going to do some browser testing on this VM, you can pre-add Chrome, i.e. Edge, Firefox, and all the other browsers. And every time you create that image, create that VM from this formula, it will provision the VM and then layer these others on top. So tomorrow, if you wanted IE9, 10, 11, or tomorrow you might not need them, you can take in and add them as you need them.
So you've what you've got there are all artifacts that are provided by the DevTest Labs team, right? So what if what I'm provisioning, I need to install maybe libraries that are part of my project. Can I put my own artifacts in those? Can I wire that into what you've just shown us with the whole release management?
That's a very good question. So if you are looking for a package that's not available within the DevTest artifacts, then you can use Chocolaty. And, you know, Chocolaty's got a millions of packages. Millions is too much, but hundreds and thousands of packages that the community is developing. Last night I looked, there's a package already available for SQL 2014 on Linux deployment.
Really?
So that's cool, right?
Yeah.
Sorry, 2016 deployment. And then back to your question, if you know, you've got your own software you want to plug in, then what the DevTest Labs give you is the ability to create your own artifact repository. So rather than use the one they have, you could go into the artifact repository and say, I want to add my own repository. And this is coming from Visual Studio Team Services or from GitHub as well.
Okay.
As long as it's a Git endpoint, it will work.
And you obviously mentioned Linux there. So this isn't Windows-centric. The machines that I push out could be Linux, could be Windows, whatever I need.
Yeah, I'm sorry that we threw away the penguin there. But yeah, it does support Linux.
We've got penguins all over the place.
So that's the key thing. But what's really useful outside of that as well is when you create a VM, when you try and create a VM, you get to see the ARM definition for that as part of the provisioning process.
Okay.
So you see here, I've got a base image I've taken. Call it something, some username, some password, and view ARM template.
So, because before Damien was so rudely cut off as we overran massively, we were alluding to building ARM templates for Stack as well as Azure. So, we can start to see with this why it's important to learn those. I can use them in Dev Test Labs. Can I use the same templates in the release management to push out?
And I'm exactly going to show you that next.
Fantastic.
Is, you know, I think where Microsoft is headed now is they understand that if the entry barrier is too high, people are not going to use a feature.
Mm-hmm.
And so by asking you to create your own ARM template by looking at the schema, the documentation's great. I mean, it's don't get me wrong, but by having something that you create within Azure by provisioning the infrastructure and then being able to extract that as an ARM definition really empowers you to accelerate that implementation. And that's what we're doing here is, you know, I define what my VM looks like even to the type where what it's called, what the password is. The password is a secure string, so it's not displayed here. What VM size it is, what network it goes in, whether it has public IP address or not. And I can bundle up the other artifacts like I talked about, right? Mm-hmm. And then after I've done that, I get this template, which makes my provisioning process fairly easy. So I've already extracted one.
So we can just copy and paste that, right?
And that's exactly what I did, is in the code section, I've created another Git repository called infrastructure. And within this infrastructure repository, I've created one folder, and I've simply copied this template. And you can see the similarity. And what I'm going to do now is I'm going to use a new extension that the DevTest Labs team has introduced for Visual Studio Team Services Release Management to simply take this ARM template, specify the parameters, and then provision the virtual machine.
Okay.
So before we run out of time, let's quickly look at that. So you go into Visual Studio Team Services, and you search for Azure, and you would see this Azure DevTest Lab task has been introduced, which allows you to create a VM, delete a VM, even create a custom image as well. So you deploy your software, you can use this task to provision that as a sys-prepped image.
So we could automatically build our golden image the devs then use to build their VM. That's really cool.
So let's go into the release tab. And within the release tab, let's open an existing release definition we have. And I've got a test environment. I'm probably running a couple of Octopus deploys. Let's disable that for a second and add a new task in the deploy section, Azure DevTest Lab Create VM. And you see, it's asking me for an Azure ARM subscription. Mm-hmm. I've already created one, but like I said, you could go to the Services tab, define an endpoint, and then it will start to show up here. Now, my lab name is searched based on the subscription I choose, so I can see the lab that we just saw.
And we can have multiple labs in a single subscription, can't we? So we can put lots of dev teams all working together.
And now it's asking for a template name. Now, when I click here, I realize I can't refer to it because it's in a Git repository that I did not include as part of the build process. That's a bummer.
Okay.
But what Microsoft's done in the last sprint of VSTS is they now allow you to link Git repositories as artifacts as well. And this is fantastic, because if your infrastructure folks are working on an infrastructure repo and they've got nothing to do with build, you can simply import their Git repository as an artifact and refer to it within the release definition process.
Okay, so they can rev that template completely independently of we the devs and grab it as we need it. That's great.
So I've got my team project. Within that, I've got the repository Fabricam, I've got the infrastructure repository, and I'm taking the master branch. And you can do a quality process here as well. You know, you only take the templates that come from their master branch and not one of their implementation branches.
Okay.
So it gives you a level of cleansing there as well. So I've associated infrastructure as a artifact. I come back here and I click, and you see it starts to show up.
Okay. Yeah.
And so within the Geeks Dev Test, I select the JSON file, and these parameters, as I showed you in the template, are what you want to call the VM. You know, what's the username, what's the password, and password is not passed as a clear string, it's encrypted. And what's better is you can define variables as well, and I've exactly done that. I've defined a machine name, a password, and username, and see, I've sort of encrypted that.
Yep.
And so I'm simply going to copy, bear with me for a second. Simply going to copy the variables, save this step. And once this process runs, I want DevTest to return the machine name as well, because you might have another step in here which now wants to deploy on that machine. So you would take that variable, and then you can use that in the next task. So let's very quickly create a release for Tech Days. You know, we have to take a build number, we have to take whatever commit version of Git we want to use. Let's create this. And let's look at the release itself. Now, another thing I want to show you before, while this is running in the background, is within the release process, what I've done is I have created variables, right? And what you can do is you can use these variables to be shown to you at the time of creating the release. So at the time of creating the release, if you want to call this VM something else, then you can change the values of the parameters as well.
Okay, right, yeah.
So we can create, for example, 99. If we go into the logs, we would see it's downloading the infrastructure and it's creating an Azure Dev Test Lab VM. Let's navigate our way to the portal here. Let's look at settings. Let's look at all VMs. There we go.
Oh, fantastic.
It's updating it. So what it's going to do is it's going to deploy. It's deploying the machine. And then after that, it's going to apply the artifact. So, you know, if, for example, you wanted to run Chef, you could run the Chef client extension with the deployment of the VM, which means once you've done that, your VM would start to show up as a node within Chef in Dev Test Labs. And so if you had a DSC definition defined for any new machines that get linked up to Chef, run IIS deployment or run ASP.NET 5 deployment, then that process can be managed from here as well.
Okay.
So the power of VSTS is not just about, you know, coding, it's just not about doing build, it's just not about release, but the whole game's changed with being able to plug in into other tools, being able to have that natural integration with Azure, and then being empowering you really to store infrastructure as code and you know, run your quality processes, no matter how complex or simple they are.
So the moral, I guess, is that we can have the cake we've already got of our existing tooling with Octopus or Chef, and we can eat it too by layering in VSTS to expand and extend and give us all this really new cool stuff.
Precisely.
That's great. Well, thanks very much, Taryn. That was a really interesting session. Hopefully you've seen, as we've worked through now, Damien talked about the infrastructure. Taryn's come along and taken our code and deployed it onto that infrastructure in a manageable, repeatable, monitorable way. After the break, in 15 minutes, Matteo Emily's going to come along and show us the next stage in our story, which is we've taken Taryn's code, we've put it on an environment. How do we monitor? How do we look inside that code and see what's going on? So tune in after the break for Application Insights with Matteo Emily. Thanks so much.
Thank you.